All right. Well, let's get into the Word. Praise God. We're coming up. Everybody know what's happening Thursday? Thanksgiving. Right. All right. Okay. Absolutely. So I want to talk about Thanksgiving today. Thanksgiving is a day. This is the title of my message. Thanksgiving, a day, an act, and a lifestyle. So first of all, Thanksgiving is a day. A day that we should mark, a day that we should celebrate. And when we think of Thanksgiving, what do we think of, first of all? Turkey, football. How about the pilgrims? Did anybody say the pilgrims? Okay. All right, good. I'm in the right place. I know that I'm needed today to instruct you. Okay, good. When we think of Thanksgiving, we think of the pilgrims, don't we? And so the pilgrims landed on these shores of North America 403 years ago. And they endured a harsh winter of disease and starvation and death. But then things began to turn around for them in the spring of 1621. And that fall was when they celebrated the very first Thanksgiving. So the first Thanksgiving feast was celebrated 402 years ago. All right, so what we're going to do Thursday has roots that are 402 years old. All right. And so they celebrated that first Thanksgiving along with 90 members of the Wampanoag Indian tribe with whom they had befriended. But who are these pilgrims and why had they come here and why does it matter to us today, 403 years later? Well, the pilgrims were a group of believers in England. There was about 1,000 of them in number, or maybe a little less. And they were sincere about following the Lord and following His Word. They had been part of the Church of England, the state church, but they were convinced that the church had been corrupted beyond Reformation. So they were separatists. They separated. Their cousins were the Puritans. The Puritans said, we're going to stay in the church and we're going to try to work to purify the church. But the pilgrims said, we've had it. We tried that. Which one is right? Well, they probably both had their roles. Amen. A little side thought here is whatever God's called you to do, that doesn't mean what somebody else is doing is wrong. Amen. So the pilgrims and the Puritans both had their roles, one separating and one staying within the church to try to purify it. All right. So anyway, so they fled. They faced persecution from the Church of England for separating. And so they fled to Holland. And while they were in Holland, they said, hey, they started hearing about there's a land across the ocean here and people are going there. And they said, you know, that'd be a great place for us to get a fresh start. And live in peace and worship God freely and follow His Word and establish a community to do that. And you know the story. They sailed to the New World in 1620. They landed in what's now Massachusetts and they named the place Plymouth. There was 102 of them aboard the famous ship known as the... They're good. You're getting better. Nobody said turkey. Nobody said pumpkin pie or football. You got it right this time. All right. So a little over half of the 102 aboard were part of the Pilgrims group. And they were blown off course by a storm. They had a charter for the Virginia Company but to establish a community, but they were blown off course. And where they landed was not under the jurisdiction of the Virginia Company. So they had to act quickly. So they drafted a document. And that document's called the Mayflower Compact. The Mayflower Compact was not the little storage room on the Mayflower. It's a document, okay? All right. And that Mayflower Compact would be the document that would govern their community. And it was the very beginnings of what we know as our government today in America. The Mayflower Compact starts like this, by the way. Having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. That's why they came. That's why they came. For the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. From the book, The Light and the Glory, we read this. This compact embodied the principles of equality and government by the consent of the governed, which would become the cornerstones of American democracy. While the pilgrims had no idea how significant this document was to be, it marked the first time in recorded history that free and equal men had voluntarily covenanted together to create their own new civil government. And so again, on the Mayflower, there were only about half of the 102 were pilgrims, but the rest of the people decided, you know, hey, we think we want to be under this as well. We're going to be part of your community. And so over that first winter, out of the 102, 47 of them died. So it was a harsh, they lost almost half their numbers. That spring, they befriended two Indians, the first of whom visited them was named Samoset, and then he brought a friend back by the name of Squanto. You've maybe heard of Squanto, and who, according to Pilgrim Governor William Bradford, Squanto was a special instrument sent of God for their good beyond their expectation. And through this friendship, the pilgrims learned much about how to plant crops, how to successfully fish and hunt game in this new land. And as a result, that fall, they had an abundant harvest, which they celebrated with 90 of their Indian friends, the first Thanksgiving. Praise God. And so fast forward 240 some years to 1863. And so the seeds of a democracy, the seeds of a nation that the pilgrims planted, has grown up now and become a nation called the United States of America. And in 1863, these United States were bitterly divided and in the throes of a horrible civil war. And that fall, President Abraham Lincoln issued a Thanksgiving proclamation. I want to read it to you. The year that is drawing, now again, 1863, you know, the war began in 1861. They're right in the middle. It ended in 1865, so they're right in the middle. And it's just horrific. The nation is bitterly divided, brother against brother. Thousands and thousands and thousands of young men are dying in the battles. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. So again, my point is, it's amazing that Lincoln said, you know, I'm going to think about something to thank God for in the midst of all this tragedy, in the midst of all this division. And so he issues a proclamation. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so consistently enjoyed that we're prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watching providence of Almighty God. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to Him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also, with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience, commend to His tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to fulfill enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. That was in 1863, October of 1863, when the proclamation was issued. And he issued it for this day to be celebrated on the fourth Thursday of November of 1863, which is when we always celebrate Thanksgiving today. It didn't become a national holiday until much later, But again, we see from our early days, from the Pilgrims to the time of the Civil War, Thanksgiving is a day. And in the same spirit of the Pilgrims and the same spirit of Abraham Lincoln and the American people, even in the midst of the bitter division of the Civil War, in this season, in this time today, we see our nation divided today, of course. What should we do? Well, we should recognize and give thanks to God for all of His blessings, for the wonderful blessings of His grace, His goodness, and His mercy on our lives, on our family, and on our nation. So I say happy Thanksgiving. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving. Amen. But Thanksgiving is more than a day. It's more than a day to observe. Thanksgiving is an act. It's an action on our part that issues forth from our recognition of God's goodness, God's faithfulness, God's power, God's provision demonstrated on our behalf. So the phrase, give thanks, that phrase, those two words together, give thanks, that's recorded 40 times in the Bible. Now, you know, if you find one word, like the word angel is like in the Bible 200 and something times, I think. You might find the word love or find the word believe in there. But when you find two words together that are in there 40 times, give thanks is in there 40 times. So that's quite significant. 40 times we're exhorted. 40 times we're commanded to give thanks. So let's look at some of these. Thanksgiving, giving thanks is an act. It's an action on our part. Amen. 1 Chronicles 16:8. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples." So I give thanks, and we should give thanks to do what? To make known His deeds among the people. He said, give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name and make known His deeds among the people. When we give thanks, we're making known His deeds among the people. 1 Chronicles 16:34. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." I give thanks because He's good. Amen. I give thanks to God. You can give thanks to God because He's good, because His mercy endures forever. Psalm 18:48. "He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will," what? "Give thanks to You, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praise to Your name." So I give thanks, and you can give thanks, and we should give thanks, because He delivers us from our enemies. Amen. And again, an interesting note here as well, it says back in verse 48, "You have delivered me," and put 48 back up there if you would, Wendy, please. "You have delivered me from the violent man." As we pointed out before, the word violence and the word violent is the Hebrew word, believe it or not, is the Hebrew word Hamas. That's how you say, that's the Hebrew word that's translated violence or violent is pronounced Hamas. Who would have known 2,000 or 3,000 years later after this was written? So he's saying, "Lord, You deliver me from the Hamas man." Praise God. That's what they need right now. Let's believe God. Let's pray for Israel, for the hostages, that God delivers them from the violent man, from the Hamas man. Amen. That they too may give thanks to the Lord and sing praise to His name. Psalm 100. Again, there's 40 references. We're not going to look at near all of them, but I wanted to look at a few of them this morning. Psalm 100, verse 4. "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." So how do I enter His gates? I enter His gates with thanksgiving. I give thanks because this is how I access the presence of God. Amen. This is how we access the presence of God. You say, "Well, I just don't feel God's presence. I just don't know. I just want to get in God's presence." Good. Here's the protocol. Here's the password. Here's the password. You want to know the password? Here's the password to get into God's presence. Give thanks. Give thanks. Now, not just say the word give thanks, but actually do the act. Give thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're good. Thank you. You're good. Your mercy endures forever. Thank you that you hear me when I pray. Thank you that you're faithful. Amen. Giving thanks to God, the act of giving thanks is the access point to get us into the presence of God. Be thankful to Him. Amen. All right. And the reasons I can be thankful, he lists three of them right here in verse 5. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Why? For the Lord is good. Amen. Praise God. And His mercy is everlasting. Is anybody happy about that and grateful for that? And so I can thank Him for that. Thank you, Lord, you're good. Isn't it wonderful to know that when you pray that you don't have to wonder, like James says? He said, James says, every good and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, and there's no variation. There's no shadow of turning. He's not good one day and bad the next day. He's consistent. He's faithful. He's always good. Aren't you glad that you can know that and have confidence in that when you approach Him, when you walk, and when you face each day, that you have a God who is good that's on your side, a God who is good, who loves you, a God who is good, who cares about you. Amen. He's good. I'm preaching better than you're amening today, so come on, catch up with me. Amen. Hallelujah. He's good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures. Thank God. His truth endures. Thank God that His truth has endured to our generation. Thank God we have the revelation of His Word. Thank God He's made it sure and made it available that His truth endured to our generation. People have tried. The devil's tried to stamp this out. People have tried to stamp this out. But thank God His truth has endured to our generation and to all generation. And I give God thanks for that. We can thank Him. Amen. Because He's good and His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. You know when they dedicated the temple, when Solomon built the temple, that David had appointed and David had set up this system of singers and praisers among the Levites, and that was their job, to sing and to give thanks and to praise God. And they were already in place. So when Solomon, David's son Solomon, built the temple and they dedicated the temple, the Bible says that the priests and the Levites went into the temple and they were singing these very words. They were giving thanks to the Lord and they were saying, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing those words and proclaim that, the Bible says the house was filled with a cloud so that the priests couldn't enter. The cloud was so thick, the presence of God was so powerful, and they couldn't stand, which means they fell. So why do people fall under the power of God? Because they can't stand up. Amen. It says, because the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God, and that presence came, that glory came when they were thanking God and when they were saying He's good and His mercy endures forever. Later on, when Jehoshaphat was king, you know the story. The three enemy armies came against them and they sought the Lord and God gave them a strategy. And Jehoshaphat said, here's what we're going to do, boys. We're not going to send the army out first. We're not going to send the elite special ops force out first. We're going to send the singers out first. We're going to send the praisers out first, and they're going to go forth saying, for the Lord is good, for His mercy endures forever. And it says when they begin to sing that, when they begin to praise that the Lord defeated the enemy, that the enemy turned on each other, and the enemy was defeated. So God likes this song. Amen. Hallelujah. For the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Amen. He likes that. So give thanks to Him, for He's good. This psalm says here in Psalm 136. Verse 4, to Him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. So the psalmist starts here saying, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endures forever. And he says, I'm going to give you some examples. And he starts with creation. He said, in creation, it's the mercy of God. It's the goodness of God. He created everything because of his goodness and because of his mercy. And then from there, the psalmist goes to talking about how when they were in Egypt and how God, through signs and wonders, delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, for his mercy endures forever. And then he talks about as they're coming out of Egypt and coming into the promised land, the enemies that came against them, how God defeated them, for he's good, for his mercy endures forever. Praise God. And the psalm concludes with this in verse 23 of Psalm 136. It says, "Who remember," after recounting all these great things that God had done, he says this, "Who remembered us in our lowly state?" Boy, I see myself in that verse right there, don't you? Amen. Do you see yourself there? Yes. Do you see yourself? Were you ever in a lowly state in your life? Yes. Aren't you glad that God remembered you in your lowly state? Who remembered us in our lowly state? Yes. For his mercy endures forever. And rescued us from our enemies. For his mercy endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. Psalm 107, verse 19. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and healed me. I couldn't raise my arm, but now I can. I couldn't raise without about that far, and then the pain. But glory to God. Hallelujah. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. I give thanks to the Lord because he heals me. And he delivers me from my destructions. Amen. Luke 17, verse 11. Going over to the New Testament. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And so that was an act of faith on their part. They still had leprosy. Jesus said, "Turn around, go show yourself to the priest." Well, you weren't supposed to do that unless you were healed. But they turned and they went in faith. And as they went, they were healed. Amen. 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 Praise God. In verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he thought, "Wow, look at this. There's no more leprosy on my body." When he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to the God, except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Some translation says, "Your faith has made you whole." Praise God. So the one leper, 10 were healed and cleansed of the leprosy, but the one returned. And when he saw that he was healed, he was cleansed, he with a loud voice, he came back and he gave thanks to Jesus. Amen. I wonder if that ratio holds today. I wonder if only 1 out of 10 of us that receive a blessing, that receive a healing, that receive a miracle, stop and say, "Well, wait a minute, I need to stop right now. And I need to give thanks. I need to give thanks. I need to give thanks for what God's done for me." Hallelujah. Now, again, I point this out I'm not adamant about this, but it seems to me But also what happened with this leper, they were all cleansed. But Jesus, when this one came back, he said, your faith has made you whole. You know, leprosy would also eat away at your extremities. And so it's very likely, very likely, that not only was he cleansed of his leprosy, but if he had body parts that had been eaten away, they were restored. He was made whole again. That's what giving thanks can do. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So Thanksgiving is a day. It's a day we should mark and we should observe. Thanksgiving is more than a day or an event. It's an action, isn't it? Praise God. So let's look at Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. How? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Is that the way that we pray? It's the way we should pray. Is that the way that you pray? It's the way we should pray. Here's how to pray. Don't be anxious about anything. Whatever comes into your life, why can I not be anxious? Because God's got an answer. God's made provision. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. There's an answer in the book. There's an answer in the Word. There's provision. Amen. It's already been paid for. It's already been purchased. So I can live my life carefree. I can live my life without being anxious. Don't be anxious, but in everything. But here's what you do instead of being anxious, instead of worrying. Amen. See, if a lot of us, if we'd take that time where we would worry and do this instead, this will solve your problems. Amen. Praise God. I'm still preaching better than you're amening, but you're... Amen. Amen. That's worth a lot right there if you get a hold of it. And everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So we pray. Instead of worrying, I say, okay, Lord, this situation is going on, but I found an answer in your word. I found a promise that covers this situation. And so I bring it to you. And this is my request. This is my petition. And then I add something into that petition. What do I add? Thanksgiving. And so, Father, I want to thank you for hearing my prayer. I want to thank you that you've made a promise. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you cannot lie. I want to thank you because you told me, because I was in the service last Sunday and heard Pastor say it. 1 John 5, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears me. And if I know he hears me, I know I have it. So I'm going to go ahead and thank you for it. Amen. I want to go ahead and thank you for it. See, giving thanks before you see the manifestation is an act of faith. Amen. And it's so vital. It's so vital. Praise God. Instead of praying over and over and over again about the same thing, start thanking him. Thank you, Lord, you heard me. Thank you that you heard me. Thank you that you're working. Amen. Yes. Now, it's also a key component in the strategy to stay in the peace of God. So he says, if you'll do this, if you'll pray and make your request known to God with thanksgiving, here's what's going to happen. Verse 7, and the peace of God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. And so, again, Thanksgiving is a day. It's more than a day or an event. It's an act. It's an action. It's a response to God for all of his goodness, all of his blessings. And since that's the case, and since goodness and mercy are following me, how often?
All the days
of my life, then it really means that there can't be and shouldn't be a day that we're not giving thanks. So thanksgiving, then, it follows as more than a day. It's more than an action every once in a while. Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks, come on, always, for all things, to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this speaks of a lifestyle. Not just an act, and certainly not just an observance of a day, but a lifestyle of thanksgiving that's born out of a thankful heart. And I've thought about, again, I'm going to talk about me because I don't know about you, but I know about me. But I believe, I'm sure, that I'm more thankful now than I've been at any time in my life. And to God be the glory for that. Not because I've got more stuff. Not because the circumstances of my life are better now than they have been at other times in my life. But because the Lord has opened my eyes to see and to appreciate His wonderful blessings that surround me every day. Amen. Praise God. I'm so grateful that He did that for me. I'm so grateful, and He will do it for you if you'll allow Him to. He'll open your eyes to the blessings, and He'll give you a thankful heart. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Too many times we look around and we see the circumstances aren't what we'd like. We see what we don't have, and we talk about what we don't have. We talk about our problems. We talk about what the devil is doing. We complain. We get discontented. But if we'll cultivate a thankful heart, we can find reasons to give thanks no matter the circumstances. That's why Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he says, in everything, give thanks. In everything. In every situation. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. Oh, Pastor, would you pray for me that I would know the will of God? Here it is right here. Here it is. You want to know the will of God? Give thanks. In everything, give thanks. No, you don't understand. I mean, I want Him to tell me whether or not I'm supposed to stay here or move to Pittsburgh. Well, I can tell you that. Don't move to Pittsburgh. You don't. I'm kidding. Maybe God's speaking to somebody to move to Pittsburgh. I don't know. Or maybe somebody watching on YouTube. But I want Him to speak to me and give me specific direction about my life. Well, listen, if we're not willing to do what He's already told us in His Word to do, that's His will, then why should He speak to us about other stuff? Amen. So start here, is my point. Amen. Start here. Start by giving thanks. It's the will of God to give thanks. In everything, to give thanks. Amen? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything. Praise God. You know, we've already won. You're saved, right? Are you saved? Anybody in here saved? You're saved. You're not going to hell. You deserved, and I deserved, to go to hell. But we're not going. We've already won. We've got a God. We've got a Heavenly Father. We've got a Savior that loves us. Loves us unfailingly. Loves us perfectly. We've already won. Come on. And in His love, He's given us, our Heavenly Father has given us, as I said earlier, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Hallelujah. How can we not be thankful? How can we not live a lifestyle of thanksgiving? Mike, you're going to need to go ahead and play that instrumental today because Reed had to slip out early. I think the motorcycle run did come by here. Amen. Did y'all hear that? I guess they're on their way to it. He and Judah are participating in a motorcycle ride, a toys for Christmas motorcycle ride, a fun charity event. He said there's going to be thousands of motorcycles, and so I said I hope they don't come by here at 11 o'clock. But apparently some of them did. But that's all right. We love them and we bless them. Amen. Hebrews 13. We'll close with this. Therefore, by Him, by Jesus, let us, what? Continually offer. That sounds like a lifestyle to me. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Now, he's writing to the Hebrew Christians and he says, guys, listen. You don't have to offer the sacrifices of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer. That, you don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to load Elsie up in the trunk of your car and bring her to church and sacrifice her. She can stay out there and graze in the pasture and just give milk. God's not interested in Elsie's blood anymore. Isn't that good news? All right. I guess Elsie would be, that'd be the ashes of a heifer. Okay. All right. Did I lose you? Okay, all right, you still with me? You don't have to do that anymore. He said, here's what we offer now in the new covenant, the sacrifice of praise to God. That's the only sacrifice left. Because Jesus made the final sacrifice. Jesus made the perfect sacrifice. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice, the sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross, and He was raised from the dead. So now we offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips doing what? Giving thanks to His name. Hallelujah. Giving thanks to His name. And He says, By Him we can do that. So in His name, by Him, I'm saved. I can thank Him for that. In His name, I'm healed. I can thank Him for that. In His name, I have authority. I can thank Him for that. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Let's live. I hope Thursday and this week, I hope that you mark the day because it's important. Mark the day, Thanksgiving, and remember its significance for the seeds of God's plan and purpose for our nation. Our forefathers, our first settlers here, set aside a day to give thanks to God. We still mark it 400 years later. Let's do that. Let's celebrate the day. And let's give thanks. Let's take that action of responding to God and thanking Him. Praise God. When He does something and blesses us and answers our prayer, and also thank Him in faith when you have prayed. Add thanksgiving to your prayer, and then let's make this a lifestyle. Hallelujah. His goodness and mercy follow me all my days. So all my days, I've got reasons to give Him thanks. I've got reasons to say, thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Can we just thank Him right now? Can you just raise your hands and thank Him right now? Maybe you want to find something specific to thank Him for that He's done for you today or this week or in the last few days. Thank You, Father. You've been so good to me. Thank You, Father. You've been so good. I thank You. I thank You for Your mercy, Lord. You've been so merciful to me. You've been so good to me. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. I thank You today. I praise You today. With the fruit of my lips, I give thanks to Your name. Thank You for healing me. Thank You for sustaining me. Thank You for providing for me. Thank You, Lord. Lord, I thank You for this, for my wonderful church family. Lord, I thank You that You've given us a building paid for to meet in. Lord, thank You for all the resources that You give us so that we can share Your word and so that we can communicate the gospel. Thank You, Lord, that this message can go out to YouTube and potentially reach the whole world. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for all the things that You've done, for all Your blessings. Thank You, Father. Thank You for my family. Thank You for my friends. Thank You, Father, for my health. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. I thank You today. I praise You today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Hallelujah. 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 And while we're thanking Him, I want to address the folks on YouTube right now. You can stand up and you can just keep thanking Him. That's fine. Don't stop. But if you're watching this on YouTube, you've never asked Jesus into your heart. Just say this right now. Say, thank You, Heavenly Father, for sending Your Son Jesus. I need a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. I receive Him now as the Lord of my life. And I thank You, Father, that I'm Your child, that Jesus is my Lord. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer, get in touch with us here at City on the Hill. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to follow up with you. Let's just stand up and let's thank Him one more time, can we? Hallelujah. I hope we don't get tired of thanking Him. Hallelujah. Father, thank You. Thank You. You're so good. Thank You. You are so good. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. You are so good. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for helping us by the Holy Spirit to keep our eyes fixed on You. When we'd be tempted to grumble, when we'd be tempted to complain, when we'd be tempted to get discouraged, Father, I thank You that we'll break out in thanksgiving to You. Hallelujah. And we'll enter Your gates with thanksgiving. We'll be lifted into Your presence. Hallelujah. And we'll stand in the victory that You've already won for us in Jesus. We thank you for it today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.